I want you to just for a second picture your desktop right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the inside of your brain when you're trying to create a big piece of AI content. You know the feeling.
The creative chaos.
Exactly. Yes. You've got a tab open for Midjourney, right? To get your base image. Then you're alt-tabbing over to Runway, maybe Kling, to turn that into a video clip.
Yep.
Then you're jumping over to Suno to generate a backing track that hopefully fits the mood. And at the end of it all, you're dragging these horribly named files into an editor to stitch it all together. It's exhausting.
It's what we call tab fatigue. It works, don't get me wrong,
yeah.
But it's so fragmented.
Yeah.
You're basically a manual courier just shuttling data between five different brilliant tools that refuse to talk to each other.
You spend more time on file management than actually creating.
Precisely.
Which is exactly why I'm so excited about what we're unpacking today. We are doing a deep dive into Flow Canvas from a platform called Yourrender.ai. And I don't want to bury the lead here. This thing claims it can replace about 10 different tools on one screen.
And not just replace them, it connects them. That's the key word for today, connection.
Right. So consider this your audio tutorial. We're going to walk you through this thing from top to bottom. We'll cover the 11 different nodes you can use, the five big workflow patterns, and something they call the 7 layers prompt builder.
And the mission here is really to help you visualize a new way of working. Instead of thinking in apps, Flow Canvas makes you think in pipelines.
Okay, so let's start there, the visual. I log into Flow Canvas for the first time. What am I even looking at? It's not a normal video editor, right?
Not at all. No timeline at the bottom. It looks more like a mind map or maybe an infinite whiteboard, a huge gray grid-based space. If you've ever used a tool like Miro or Figma, it feels a bit like that.
Okay, I can picture that.
But instead of sticky notes, you're dragging and dropping these things called nodes.
And for anyone who hasn't used this kind of tool, what exactly is a node?
Think of a node as a small colored box that does one specific job. One box might be write text. Another box is generate image. You put these on the whiteboard and then you connect them with wires. You literally draw lines between them to tell the data where to go next.
So it's like building a circuit board for your creativity.
That is the perfect analogy.
Yeah.
You are visually drawing the path that an idea takes from your brain to a finished file. It's a node-based workflow.
Okay, so let's open up this toolbox. There are 11 nodes. Where do you start? You can't just stare at a blank screen.
No, you need raw materials. So you start with your inputs. These are the blue and purple nodes. You've got a text node where you type your script, an image node where you can upload a reference, and a video node. Simple as that. Your ingredients.
Got it. But then we get to the main event. You call it the powerhouse, the lime green generator node.
This is the absolute heart of this system. In most other tools, the generator is the entire tool. Here, it's just one node in your canvas. But inside this one node, wow, you have access to a staggering amount of power.
It handles image, video, and audio generation all in one box.
All in one.
And we're not talking about some generic no-name models. This is what blew my mind. You pop open this node and you see what? Midjourney V7, Flux 2 Pro, Google's Imagen 4.
And that's just for images. For video, you can pick from Kling, Sortu Pro, VEO 3.1. And for audio, it connects right to Suno for music and 11 Labs for your text-to-speech.
That's insane. That's usually three or four different subscriptions right there. Here, they're just options in a drop-down menu.
Exactly. And because they're all in one type of node, you can swap them out. You could build a whole workflow with Flux, then decide you want to try Midjourney instead, and you just switch the model. The wiring stays the same.
Okay, so we're generating stuff, but the magic seems to be in controlling it. This brings us to the logic nodes.
Mm.
You said the splitter is a big deal.
The splitter node, it's colored cyan or emerald, is, in my opinion, the unsung hero for anyone telling a story. Let's say you have a script for a 30-second ad.
Okay.
Normally, you copy-paste scene one into an image generator. Wait, then copy-paste scene two.
Ugh, the manual slog.
The splitter automates all of that. You paste your entire script into a text node, but you add little tags like scene one or shot one. You connect that to the splitter, and it physically creates a separate output wire for each scene.
So it chops up the big block of text into little pieces for you.
Instantly. And then you can connect each of those little pieces to its own image generator. So with one click, you generate the storyboard for your entire film all at once.
That's a huge time saver.
Oh.
Okay, next up in the toolbox, you called this one the brain. The agent instructions node.
Right, the Popol node. Think of this as the manager or maybe the creative director of the whole operation.
How so?
Well, You use it to define your style guidelines. You don't want to have to retype, use corporate blue, moody lighting, minimalist style into every single prompt.
You'd go crazy. And you'd definitely make a mistake somewhere.
For sure. So you put all of that into one agent instructions node. You can even attach reference images. Then you wire that node in all your generators. It forces every single output to follow those rules. It's all about consistency.
I love that. Okay, before we get to the final assembly, we have to talk about Polish. Because raw AI output, it's not always perfect.
No, it rarely is. That's where the orange processing node comes in. This is your glam squad. It has tools like the Upscaler, which is powered by Magnific AI, to make your images super high res.
And I saw it also has a skin enhancer from FreePic.
It does. If you've ever generated an image of a person with AI, you know the skin can look a bit waxy, plastic. The skin enhancer node is trained specifically to fix that texture. It's essential.
Okay, so we've generated, we've split, we've polished. Now, here is the feature that I think really separates Flow Canvas from something like Comfy UI. The video assembly node.
The Violet node. This is the game changer. In almost every other node-based tool, you get your assets, and then you have to download them all to go edit somewhere else.
Right.
The video assembly node is a full multi-track timeline editor that lives inside the canvas.
You're kidding. So like drag and drop video tracks, audio tracks, text overlays.
All of it. Transitions, fades, wipes, slides. You can layer text on top of your video. You sync up your Suno music track. And then you render the final video right there in the browser. You never leave the web page.
That is the aha moment for me. The whole studio is just boxes and wires on a screen.
It creates this seamless pipeline.
Yeah.
From your first idea to the final render.
Mm.
But, and there's always a but, the tools are only as good as the instructions you give them.
Yes. The dreaded prompt. We've all been there.
Yep.
Staring at that blinking cursor. You type cool dog on a skateboard and you just get garbage back.
Garbage in, garbage out.
So Flow Canvas actually has a solution for this, right? Inside that agent instructions node we mentioned, they call it the 7 layers prompt builder.
This is a fascinating feature. It's essentially training wheels for becoming a professional director. The developers knew that most users aren't photographers. They don't know the lingo.
I certainly don't know my focal lengths from my apertures half the time. Mm.
And you shouldn't have to. So built into the node is this system that walks you through 7 specific layers to build a professional prompt. It stops you from just writing cool dog.
Okay, walk us through the layers. What are they?
Layer 1 is composition. Is this a hero shot? A flat lay. It makes you decide on the framing first. Layer 2 is shot type and angle. Is it a bird's eye view? An extreme close-up.
So it forces you to think about where the camera is.
Exactly. Layer 3 is environment, studio shot, or a lifestyle scene. Layer 4 is lighting. This is huge. Do you want cinematic lighting? Hard light? Softbox.
Lighting makes or breaks the realism always.
It does. Then layer 5 is camera and lens. You can actually specify a Sony A7RV or a 35 millimeter lens. Layer 6 is color science and mood. Do you want the look of Kodak portrait film or CineStill 800T?
Wow.
And finally, layer 7 is brand style. It's like a pre-flight checklist for creativity.
So it turns you from just a prompter into more of a director.
That's exactly the goal. It transforms you. When you fill out all 7 layers, the difference in the quality of the output is just night and day. You're not hoping for a good result, you're engineering one.
Okay, so now we know how to prompt. The next step is knowing how to structure the workflow itself. This is where we go from what the buttons do to how to think.
Right, this is about the patterns.
Okay.
The documentation highlights 5, but I think there are 2 that are absolutely critical for anyone listening to understand.
Which ones?
The hub fan out and the sequential chain.
Mm-mm.
They represent 2 totally different ways of creating.
Let's start with hub fan out. I like the name. It sounds efficient.
It is the efficiency play. Imagine a wheel with spokes. The hub is your single input, let's say a photo of a sneaker. You connect that one image node to 4 different generator nodes.
And why 4?
Because you tell each generator to create a different aspect ratio. One is square for Instagram. One is vertical for TikTok. One is widescreen for YouTube. You hit run, and you get all 4 formats at the same time.
That is so smart. Normally you generate one, then you crop it, then you realize the crop looks awful and you have to go all the way back.
This avoids all of that. It's a one-to-end flow, 1 input, many outputs. It's perfect for A-B testing or for creating a multi-platform campaign in minutes.
Okay, so that's the hub. What about the other one, the sequential chain?
This is the creative play. Instead of fanning out, you daisy chain the nodes. The output from node A becomes the input for node B. The output from B becomes the input for C, and so on.
Give me a practical example of that.
Character consistency. You generate your main character in node 1, You then feed that image into Node 2 as a strong reference, so Node 2 generates the same character but maybe in a different pose. Then Node 3 takes that image and puts them in a new setting. The consistency flows down the chain.
So hub is for variations and chain is for narrative.
Perfectly put.
Yeah.
And the third major one is just a mix of those hub with instructions, which is more for corporate work distributing tasks while enforcing brand guidelines with those purple instruction nodes.
Let's really put this into practice. Can we walk through a few specific recipes? Let's start with that product photography scenario.
For sure. Let's make some social media gold. The goal is to take one simple product shot and turn it into a high-end marketing campaign.
So what's the flow? What are the nodes?
You start with a text node describing the vibe, spicy, energetic fire background, and an image node with your raw photo. You connect both of those to a generator node running a model called, and I'm not joking, Nano Banana Pro.
Wait, what? Nano Banana Pro?
I know, it sounds funny, but it's built on Google Gemini 3, and it is incredible for product photography. It handles text and labels on products better than almost anything else.
Okay, I'll trust you. So you hook that up.
You hook that up to four different generators using that hub fan-out pattern. You set the different aspect ratios. You hit run. Total cost is around 96 credits, and you have a full campaign ready to post. No manual cropping needed.
Fast, cheap, effective. I love it. Now let's get more complex. The video storyboard.
This is the full pipeline from start to finish. You want a four-scene video with music. So you start with your script in a splitter node that breaks it into scene one, scene two, scene three, and scene four.
Right, the automatic chopper.
Exactly. You connect those four outputs to four image generators. This gives you your keyframes, the main still image for each scene.
Why not just go straight to video?
It gives you more control. You can check the look and feel of the stills before you commit to the much more expensive video generation credits. Once you like the stills, you connect each of those image nodes into a video generator node.
Okay.
Now you have four separate video clips. You drag all four of those into the video assembly node at the very end of the chain. You add a Suno audio node to generate a music track and pipe that in there too. You trim the clips, add a fade, and hit export.
And just to be clear, you haven't downloaded a single file until that final video export.
Not a single one. It's a straight line from text to a finished movie.
Which brings us to scenario three, the brand book. This feels like the ultimate corporate power user move.
It absolutely is. This uses the hub with instructions pattern. You have a central brief. You split that into different assets you need, a logo, a mood board, a website mock-up, a packaging design.
So all different types of deliverables.
Yes. But before each generator, you insert one of those purple agent instruction nodes to make sure they all use the exact same color palette, the same brand voice. You might use Midjourney V7 for the artistic stuff, Flux for clean layouts. Then you pipe them all through an upscaler at the end to make them print ready.
You're basically automating an entire branding agency's first pass deliverables.
It makes the process scalable. That's the whole point.
So zooming out a bit, we've seen the nodes, the layers, the patterns. I have to play devil's advocate for a second, though. Why should I learn a whole new interface? I know Midjourney on Discord. I know how to use Runway. Why switch?
It's the replace 10 tools argument. Yeah. Sure, you know how to use them all separately. But do you enjoy paying for 10 different subscriptions? Do you enjoy the file management chaos?
Definitely not.
Flow Canvas bundles access to all those models, Midjourney, Runway, Suno, into one subscription. So you're not paying for the models, you're paying for the access, and more importantly, the workflow system that connects them.
Plus, it's browser-based. I know a lot of people love Comfy UI, but installing that can sometimes feel like you need a computer science degree.
Comfy UI is incredibly powerful, but it's local. It runs on your graphics card. If you don't have a top-tier gaming PC, it's slow. Flow Canvas is in the cloud. You can run a massive pipeline on a Chromebook. And Comfy UI doesn't have that video assembly timeline. That's a huge difference.
And compared to just using Runway on its own?
Runway is amazing for video, no question. But Flow Canvas handles the whole ecosystem. Image, audio, video, and editing. It's broader. If your work involves mixed media, this connects all the dots.
It also seems like it changes who can do this stuff. They have different plans, right? Free, starter, pro.
Yes, and that accessibility is key. Whether you're on the starter plan with a couple thousand credits or an agency plan with 10,000, the tool itself is the same. It really democratizes these complex workflows.
It feels like we're moving past just prompting.
We are. And that, for me, is the final, most important takeaway. Tools like Flow Canvas are shifting the essential skill set for creators. We're moving away from technical operation, just knowing which button to press, to system architecture.
System architecture, that sounds pretty serious.
It is. If you can visualize the workflow, if you can see the path from A to Z in your head, you can build anything. You're not just an artist anymore, you're a pipeline engineer. You're designing a factory that produces creativity.
That is a really fascinating way to think about it. You're not just painting the picture, you're building the machine that paints the picture.
Exactly. And once you build that machine, that flow, you can save it, you can reuse it, you can tweak it. Mm. It becomes a valuable asset in itself. You could share that flow with your whole team, and suddenly everyone is creating at the same high level.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go close about 15 tabs on my browser and try to connect some dots instead.
I think that's a great idea.
That's it for this deep dive. We've covered the nodes, the layers, and the patterns. Now it's your turn. Go find your flow, see what you can connect, and maybe, just maybe, turn that chaos in your brain into a nice, organized, color-coded pipeline. Thanks for listening.
Keep creating.